They will know we are Christians by our love. Amen. The words of Jesus when he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty," are so important that we hear them two Sundays in a row. Last Sunday, the gospel ends with these words, and this Sunday, we begin with them, a reminder that Christ is always with us through the good, the bad, the in-between, no matter what, there's his love for us. And Christ offers us and asks us to come towards him in faith. And in return, he will change our lives. Jesus asks us to be more than we believe we can be. Jesus asks us to do this in community. He asks us to share what we have. Coming towards Christ is not easy. Being initiated into the body of Christ requires a lifetime of saying, "I will love my God, and I will love my neighbor, and I will love myself, and I will do everything I can to dismantle injustice and inequities." So when Jesus hears murmurings in the crowd, he tells them, "Look, I've been sent by the Father. I am the bread of life. The manna of the desert did not lead to eternal life. The bread I offer to you is the living bread. This bread that I offer gives life to the world. The bread that I offer to you is my life. And I want each one of you to share in my life and share my life with others." Unless we think we aren't equipped, our baptisms make us imitators of God as beloved children, to live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And as Christians who are called to be imitators of God, this doesn't mean being perfect. It means that we show how the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives so that our actions and attitudes reflect the love and forgiveness we have received from Christ. I was thinking about, where have I seen this lately in my own life? And I had three different experiences of receiving grace when I wasn't expecting it during my week at the College of Congregational Development. The first experience was my team's car ride to the parish we were going to visit. The second was a conversation with Robin in my small group. And the third was a conversation with Jose Luis, who was also in my small group. The experience I'm going to share about is the car ride. Our small group of eight went to visit our assigned parishes in two cars. Kathy, you might want to get some Kleenex. I drove, and Kathy Entris, Josh, and Ted were in my car. And we talked really openly about all sorts of things, because we had about a 40-minute drive to get where we were going. But the conversation that stuck in my head of all things was about a Netflix show called Queer Eye. I shared that I hadn't watched it, and that I hadn't watched the original show either. I said that I wasn't really all that interested in watching gay guys spiff up straight guys. But Josh and Kathy shared about how the show was so much more than that. that it was really about making a connection with the person the guys were spending 5 days with. It was about mutual vulnerability and transformation. Kathy and Josh piqued my curiosity, and then I let it go and figured I'd never watch the show. But their heartfelt appreciation for the show kept nagging at me. So I watched an episode and I cried. I watched another episode and I cried again. Then I had Amy watch an episode and we cried together. And trying to tease out why this show has such an emotional impact, I found an article in Money Magazine called The Queer Eye Guide to a Richer Life. It does a brilliant job of capturing the heart of this show. The Fab Five torpedo into the life of a good-natured but delightfully hapless average Joe or Jill and begin to unravel self-sabotaging ideas about how to eat, dress, and live. By the end, a life is transformed, and everybody is crying. The Five's uncompromising positivity, along with the sheer joy they take in one another's company, is intoxicating. Wherever they go, a frenzy of belly laughs and bear hugs follow. Their job descriptions are simple enough. Each is an expert in grooming, design, food, culture, or fashion. But the philosophy they espouse is nothing short of revolutionary. They don't swoop into people's lives and hammer them with pep talks about interior design and eating healthy. The Queer Eye Credo isn't about flagrant spending either. Living your best life doesn't mean switching from olive to truffle oil or using only salon-grade hair products. It's about the intangibles. Showing up for your family, creating lifelong friendships, feeling confident in your own skin, and living comfortably within your means. So why was this a moment of grace for me? First, because Kathy and Josh were willing to push gently at my assumptions and invite me to experience something that brought joyfulness to their lives. They cared enough about me to want to share this experience with me and for me to be a part of the experience. Second is because the show models the gifts of vulnerability, models the honor of sharing and receiving another person's story, models how, when we let people into our lives who care about us, our lives can be changed for the better. Third, seeing the Fab Five go into small southern towns being unabashedly gay and finding acceptance gives me hope. The heart of the show is the intangibles, modeled for anyone willing to spend 45 minutes to watch an episode. Jesus tells us, though, living a good life is tangible. When we let God into our lives, when we eat the bread of life, our lives change for the better. And Paul reminds us, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving of one another, living in love as beloved of God. These tangible acts make our lives better. My last moment of grace from a car ride and a show is that this is what we do here at Epiphany. We open our hearts to each other, to our guests, to our neighbors, and I am honored to be a part of this community. Amen.